Hello, and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program for you today. Our speaker, Jeff Coulter, is an associate pastor with Thurman Scrivener at the Living Savior Ministries. We join today's message, Bazookas in the Spirit, already in progress.
I'm going to make a crazy statement here, but I can back it up from Scripture. It's not God's perfect will to heal you. It is not the perfect will of God to heal you, which I know is an interesting thing to say at a healing school. And those from an evangelical background are saying amen, and other people are picking up stones. It is not God's perfect will to heal you. According to Galatians 3:14, it's God's perfect will that you don't get sick. It's God's perfect will that you walk in divine health. It's also God's will that when you do get sick, that you realize that it's the children's bread health and healing are. Deliverance. Those are the children's bread. That sickness was only ever designed to be a reward for the wicked, Psalm 91 says. Okay. God's perfect plan is divine health. Grace, our covenant, includes divine health. I want to look at a couple more verses. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Isaiah 53, 4 says, "Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." I want to read that for you in a different translation that we don't have up there. There's a translation called the Young's Literal Translation, and this is what it says. It says, "Surely our sicknesses He hath borne, and our pains He hath carried them. And we have esteemed Him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted." Surely our sicknesses He has borne, and our pains He's carried them. Isaiah 53, 4. Is there anywhere in the New Testament that it might confirm that? Matthew 8:17. Jesus is healing all kinds of people. Matthew 8:17. Dave, would you put it up in the NLT? Matthew 8:17. Jesus is getting all kinds of people healed, and then this is what it says. "What Jesus was doing, this fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah." All that Jesus did and brought was a fulfillment of all kinds of prophecies in the Old Testament. "This fulfilled the word of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who said, He took our sicknesses and removed our diseases." So here we are, New Testament, Matthew, saying what Jesus did is proof that it carries over. Okay, let's look. Is it anywhere else? According to Scripture, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything should be established. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24, NLT or King James is fine. I think I'm going to read it in the King James, excellent. Says this, "Who His own self," talking about Jesus, "bore our sins in His own body on the tree." Why did He do that? "That we, being dead to sins, should live to righteousness." Because Jesus died for us, we're now able to die completely to sin, not walk in sin, live to righteousness. Why else did Jesus die on the cross? "By whose stripes you were healed." Peter, again, New Testament, referring back to when Jesus died on the cross, says it's already a done deal. Because of what Jesus did, you were healed. Because of the old covenant, Galatians 3:14 says it's now part of our covenant. And then Peter said, because of Jesus' death on the cross, here's proof again, another scripture, confirmed. Healing is ours. The question is, I guess then, why is so much of the church sick? When I started out in the beginning, I mentioned the comment that the church is as sick as the world. According to the Centers for Disease Control, there are more sicknesses popping up all the time. There are mystery sicknesses that the doctors don't have a clue what they are. Sometimes they'll give them a name of a syndrome, or enough people step forward, they know that it's real, but they don't know the origins. They don't understand the sickness. There are more sicknesses even in Christians today, so why are we getting sick? If you talk to the church and you ask the question, when you start talking about the Old Testament and the promises of God and how He takes away all of our sicknesses, and that's the Old Covenant, we're in the New Covenant, I'm not listening, not listening, not listening. Or they'll say, well, it was finished. It's done. We don't even have to talk about it. Let's not even talk about the Old Testament. Let's not talk about, you know, sickness. It's done. Okay, but if it's done, why don't we see it? Why is that not our experience if it's done? When Jesus said it is finished, it was finished. Okay, He didn't leave anything undone. But if that's not our experience, what gives? Where's the breakdown? Okay, where is it falling through the cracks? I want to take just a second and look at the etymology of the word disease, at the origins of the word itself. The word disease, literally, if you look it up, means dis-ease. Dis means without, not having. Ease, also translated peace. So literally, the word means without peace in a certain area of a person's body. Disease is not having peace in a certain system of the body. Interesting, isn't it? Literally, if you look up the word disease and you punch into Google etymology of the word disease, it'll tell you without or not having any, the absence of ease or peace. Interesting. Jesus said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Philippians says that the peace of God passes understanding, Philippians 4:7, would guard our hearts and minds. Well, how does something that is the absence of peace get in? Jesus said, Matthew 28:18, all power in heaven and earth has been given to me. Then he gives a command to the disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel. This is after Jesus is risen from the dead. So he died on the cross, it's finished. He rises from the dead and he says, all power has been given to me. And again, there's a lot of great teaching about the kingdom now, but not yet. How the kingdom of God is here, but we're not fully experiencing it. So they literally call it the kingdom now, but not yet. And they have some good points in the midst of it. But Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He could have just said, all power is given to me. But just in case you were confused, I'm going to spell it out. All power in heaven is given to me. All power on earth is given to me. All power is given to me. How does the devil steal your peace in some area? If disease is the absence of peace, if peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit, if he said the peace that passes understanding will guard your hearts and minds, how could the devil possibly come in and steal your peace in some area? Let's look at it. Luke 10:19. The disciples have just come back from preaching the gospel. He sent them, it said, ahead to the towns that he was going to go to. Sent them two by two, and they go and begin to preach. And they came back all excited and said, even the demons, the spirits, are subject to us. And then Jesus says this, Luke 10:19. Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Again, another one of those phrases. He could have just said, nothing will hurt you. But he breaks it down even further. Nothing by any means. No way, no how, nothing can get to you. Okay, so Jesus has got all power. He's given us power. How does the devil get power? How does sickness come upon us? Ephesians 4:27. Paul is in the midst of talking about not having anger, about forgiving, about not going to bed angry. And then right in the middle, he says, and here is a spiritual principle that I want you to remember. And he says it in such a short phrase that people pass right over it. And it says this, and give no place to the devil. Now again, this is New Testament, written to Christians, and give no place to the devils. A lot of the other translations will say, do not give the devil a foothold. So there are things that you and I can do that give the enemy legal right in our lives. There are things that you and I can do, the Bible calls it sin, that give the devil a foothold, a foot in the door in our lives. We are given a command, do not give place to the devil. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples of ways that we do that. When we think of sins, we think of robbing banks, you know, punching people in the nose, you know, taking candy from babies, the serious things. But fear and doubt are sin, according to Scripture. It's 365 times in the Bible, in fact, where it talks about fear. Did you know that? 365 times in the Bible, it mentions fear, or anxiety, or take no thought for tomorrow, or be anxious for nothing, or fear not, for I'm with you. 365 times. One of the reasons is because fear is literally saying, I believe that the devil has more power to harm me than God does to keep me and protect me. I believe that the devil's power is more than my power that God's given me in the new covenant. The power to walk in divine health that God promised me, Galatians 3:14, I don't really believe that. I think the devil accidents, pesticides, GMO foods, high pH balance has more power to affect me than God does to keep me. That's literally what you're saying when you walk in fear and doubt. Did you know that fear is like faith to the devil? Literally, what you believe will happen. If I believe that there's a possibility that I can get sick, I'll get sick. If I believe that there's a possibility that I'm subject to dangers and accidents, then I will be. Because what you believe will happen to you. Because fear is faith for the enemy. He says, oh, thank you very much. Jesus took all power from me. You know, Mr. or Mrs. Christian, if you read your word, you knew that from Matthew 28:18. I got none. Thankfully, he gave some to you, Luke 10:19. So that was all I needed for you to transfer some of that to me. By believing me, the devil, you just gave me power to bring sickness into your life. That's literally what you're doing. You're literally saying, devil, I believe you more than God, and so you have a right in my life, legal right to come and afflict me with sickness. Job 3:25, Job says, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come to me. A whole bunch of scriptures in the Bible that talk about how fear is a very, very powerful thing. Doubt is a very, very powerful thing. I want us to take a moment now and look at how do we get to the point where we can live in divine health? We've looked at some of the reasons, you know, why we're not. How do we do it? I want us to turn to a verse. 3 John only has one chapter, so chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you'd prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. Interesting thing there, I've read this verse for years and didn't know this. The word soul in the Greek is spelled P-S-Y-C-H-E. They pronounced it psuche in the Greek. We pronounce it psyche. Having to do with our mind, our thoughts, even our emotions, our memories, all of those things, our will. He literally says in this verse, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle John, your thinking will affect your health and your prosperity.
You have been listening to Jeff Coulter of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Bazookas in the Spirit, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.